Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Nomad Royalty, traded on the TSX under the symbol NSR and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRXF. Shad and I are chatting with the founder and CEO, Vince Metcalf. Now, Vince, I want to start off by recapping some of the financial results from Q2 2021 that were released just on July 28th. We saw revenues for this quarter of $4.6 million, cash operating margin of about $4 million. Some of the other financial data here that I want you just to break down for everybody is that net income came in at about $300,000, gross profit $1.3 million. Vince, let's start off with the revenue numbers and how that translates into income and cash flow for the company. Break down where investors need to be focused on these numbers, because I know some people have looked at the revenue number of $4.6 million and the cash operating margin of $4 million, but then they go down to that net income number and see $300,000. What are some of the financial workings when it comes to reporting for the company here for this Q2?
Yeah, well, thank you first for having me on the call today. Pretty happy to give you an update on Nomad. But when looking at a royalty and streaming company in general, the main numbers to look at are the cash operating margin. That's really what gives the investor the true, I would say, state of the company. So with us at $4 million in the second quarter, that was obviously a very good, a good quarter for us. We did have a bit of a lower production quarter just by the nature of certain assets that typically have lower quarters in the second quarter, but the back end of the year in 2021 should be very good for us, and we should get back to probably this $6-7 million per quarter revenue. But in general, as you just pointed out, you know, we had a lower net income number, but some of these numbers, you know, get impacted by a depletion at some of our assets. We're a new company, so we still do get impacted, but what's important for that is once these assets, you know, come to the end of what we had considered was a true, you know, reserve base. What's great about the royalty space and why investors invest is that they know that the operators keep spending money and extending these mine lives. So at one point, we'll be in a position, in a sense, that we're riding free on these investments. We'll have recouped all our initial investment. And that's when you start seeing numbers, you know, on the free cash flow side that they're very, very big. And that's what you see from some of the operators like the Francos, the Wheatons, and so on, that have had, you know, companies now running for 10, 15 years plus. So, you know, they've replaced the assets that they have royalties and stream on, have replaced reserves and resources multiple times. And that's when you see those expansions on the financial front. But, you know, we've now paid our fourth dividend as well. So we've paid over $8.5 million. We've returned that capital to the shareholders. So that's, you know, obviously very important for us. I think that shows that we have a very good business, that from a financial point of view, you know, we're doing well. We're still sitting on $25.5 million of cash after even, you know, buying one of our recent assets in Chile. And we'll talk about that later. But it's, the business per se is doing very well and pretty happy with the second quarter, even though it was a bit softer on the deliveries point of view.
So with eight producing assets within the company, you guys have grown really quickly, considering relatively how new the company is in the royalty space. That being said, what's the forecast in terms of revenue for this full 2021 then?
Yeah, so no, as you pointed out, last year at this time, we had four producing assets. We're now up to eight. So we've been very active. We've added five new assets to the portfolio through acquisitions. In terms of, you know, what we delivered last year in terms of revenue was around $30 million, so $29.9 million at 90% margin. So we had cash operating margins of $27.5 million. This year, that cash operating margin, again, that's always the number we really like to look at, is probably going to be between $35 and $37 million. So nice growth between 2020 and 2022. We should see even a much larger increase next year when we start seeing the full effect of the Blyvoor Gold ramp up, the Bonner Crow as well. Mine in Ivory Coast, that's doing quite well and ramping up there as well on a new zone. And then, Mercedes just changed hands. So we're seeing some very good investments on the operating front.
Well, Vince, the company's also been pretty active as far as with some of your partner companies and some of the transactions you've completed. One that stands out was on June 1st, you've completed the Caserones royalty acquisition, and that's in Chile. Could you break down, you know, how that royalty fits into the portfolio and some of the highlights of that transaction?
Yes. So Caserones is a mine that's been in operation now since 2014. It's got a very, very long mine life. It's a 17-year mine life at the moment. It's in Atacama, Chile. So, you know, a tier one mining jurisdiction where you look at deposits and availability of labor and so on. It's a copper moly mine. As I said, it's been operating since 2014. It's operated by JX Nippon, which is a very, very large conglomerate company in Japan. It's very strategic because this is one of two mines that actually feed the Japanese smelters. It's a conventional truck and shovel open pit. For us, it was a very good acquisition in the sense that you're an elephant country there. You might have followed the recent success of Filo del Sol, Jose Maria, and so on. This mine is about 30 kilometers north of those deposits, but it's already in production. So it's a big copper moly asset. Again, it's got 17 years of mine life just on reserves, probably another, 10, 15 with the additional resources there. But given the size of it, for us at the moment, probably going to, represent between $2 and $3 million a year of revenue already. So for us, it's, it's going to be a very, very big mine. It's going to run forever in a sense. So for us, it ticked a lot of the boxes to add to the portfolio.
Yeah. That's one of the strengths of the royalty model is just the long life of some of these mines or the way that some operators can extend the mines and how that can be an ongoing cash cow for the company. But one other transaction that you had that I think is worth noting, is that Nomad, put out a technical report, or I guess the Blyvar Gold Mine put out a technical report, but you have a pretty lengthy update and slide deck on this. This is a mine that wasn't well understood by the market, but on June 28th, once everybody had access to that technical report, a lot of that data jumped off the page at people. So could you walk us through some of the highlights at Blyvar Gold Mine in South Africa?
So the Blyvar Gold Mine is a mine that was actually in operation from the 1940s until 2010. And then it was bought by this new group, Blyvar Gold Capital, that put the asset back in operation. It is a private company. So from that point of view, we had limited disclosure. So since we've listed the company last year, Nomad has had limited disclosure to give investors and research analysts to help them understand what Blyvar was. So what we've done over the last 6-7 months is work with Blyvar Gold to put together a NI 43-101 technical report, which we released in June. And that allowed us to, for the first time, really, to give, a full picture of what Blyvar Gold is. And, Blyvar Gold at the moment, it's a 22-year mine life. It's got a life of mine annual production, average of 242,000 ounces a year. It's got a brand new plant. They're going through two phases. So at the moment, for the next couple of years, they're going to be running around a 1,300 ton per day mill. And it's already in the plan to expand to 2,500. It's got 5.5 million ounces of reserves only. And then when you look at the full picture, you have around, if you include the measured and indicated and inferred, you're looking at a resource of over 22 million ounces. So a very, very significant asset for us. We have a 10% stream on that. So as that mine ramps up, that will give us, a significant amount of cash flow over the next few years. And what's important to understand for the investor and the listener is that this mine is located in an area in South Africa where you have 10 producing mines within 15 kilometers. And it's the same reef. It's, in Arizona, sorry, not in Arizona, in South Africa, the deposits are all vertical. So essentially, whether it's Simbani, Harmony, Goldfields, or Blyvar in this case, you're all mining the same reef, but just at different depths. So from a metallurgy point of view, from a recovery point of view, this is a known mineral. It's there's a lot of de-risking that's already happened. And again, all of these mines have been running since, you know, World War II. So it's going to be a very big asset for us, and we're pretty happy to see that, you know, having been de-risked in the last few months.
So, Vince, one other news event that happened in Q2, there was a share consolidation, 10 for 1. I understand that the company is doing this to progress towards a listing in the U.S. Can you take us through the strategy behind that share consolidation and where you guys are looking to list in the U.S., please?
Yes. So we've, the first step for us to reach the New York Stock Exchange listing was that consolidation. Again, that consolidation was something that we would have liked to have done last year, but for regulatory purposes, we had to wait a year. So we completed that in May. But as you pointed out, you know, we are, when you look at the mid-cap royalty and streaming companies, we're the only one that's not listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Some of them are on the full board, some of them on the New York Stock Exchange American. In our case, we're actually going to be applying for the NYSE full board. So we believe that that's probably going to, be completed within this quarter or the next. But we're working very hard. We're actually already an SEC registrant from a regulatory purpose because we've acquired Core Gold last year. But that's going to be a big, big milestone for us. It's going to open up, you know, the Nomad to a much larger and broader base of investor. We are, you know, we have a strong, I would say, experience through our old company with the U.S. side of things, and we're looking to diversify our shareholders there. But most importantly, it's just going to give us access to a much larger number of investors that now will be able to buy our shares because we're now trading on the NYSE versus the OTC markets. So it's, you know, what that does is also it increases liquidity, which also means perhaps further inclusion in the JDXJ, JDX, and so on, different indices. And with the dividend that we're paying, that could also open up to the dividend ETF. So I think that's going to be a major plus for us going forward. And, you know, with the coverage, we're already covered by 10 different research analysts. I think coupled with the NYSE listing, I think it's really going to open it up for us.
Yeah, that's a smart move, Vince. And as a U.S. investor and someone that's invested in Nomad, I'll be happy to be able to go over and buy the U.S. dual listed ticker in the future. So rooting for you guys there. But just as a look forward here over the next few months, what are the key catalysts that are coming down the pipe that investors should be looking for? Are there any other acquisitions in the works, or are there any other partner operators that have some key catalysts moving down their production profile or their development pipeline that should be of note?
Yeah, well, from an operator's point of view, we've been pretty happy with the news that we've gotten this year already. We saw Nevada Gold Mines really disclose a lot more information on Cortez, where we have the Robertson royalty, which for us, you know, we bought that royalty through the Coral acquisition last year for around $30 million. That is going to become one of the most, you know, probably if it's not our most, you know, important royalty going forward, it's going to be close. But recently, Barrick actually announced that Robertson was now included in the five-year plan with first production in 24. So they're actually, you know, conducting the pre-feasibility, which is underway. We'll see if we have that information this year. But as of last month, they actually already said and told the market that Robertson was now a 10-year mine life minimum with 250,000 ounces a year. We have a huge, you know, we have a sliding scale on that. So at current prices, we have a 2% NSR royalty. They've already indicated that they're going to be spending a lot of money in that exploration corridor between Pipeline and Robertson. They've got five areas of interest. That one's going to become a very, very big royalty for us. So that one, we're looking forward to seeing a lot of news out. We saw Equinox buy Premier. So they're now the new owner of Mercedes. So we'll see, you know, what happens there. But if we have another mine, which is also owned by Equinox RDM. Well, last year we saw them commit $35 million of capital on that to extend the mine life. So we're hoping to see that type of news at Mercedes. But I would say the most important, as you pointed out, for us is seeing, you know, Nomad deploy more capital into new investments. And that's what we've been really working on. We've got a lot of different, interesting deals in our pipeline. And I would say that that's really going to be the main focus for us is going to go through that, you know, deployment of capital, showing the market that we're doing very accretive deals on net asset value or price to cash flow point of view, and really delivering value, right? For us, when you look at the management team, all of us have a significant part of our wealth, which is attached to Nomad and our share positions. So for us, that's, the most important thing is really making sure we deliver value to the shareholders.
All right. Well, Vince, I appreciate the update. So a lot of internal growth going with the assets that the company already holds and still on that acquisition path, looking for new royalties and streams to add to the company. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get Vince back on to address those. Vince, I appreciate your time. Thank you for updating us on the back of those Q2 results.
Thank you.